You're listening to 5:30 AM Underground Progressive Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013. And you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it too. I encourage you to listen.
And we are live here on Carson's Corner on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. and on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Bob Carson. My usual co-host, Justin Ray Harvey, a.k.a. J-Ray, is unable to be with us today. He is attending to some family matters, and we wish Justin the best. He will be back with us next week, so I'm going to be riding solo, but not really, because we have a guest here on the show, and we are so proud to welcome our guest. I've been an admirer of his for a long time now, a longtime friend on Facebook, and I must admit some of his pictures I've downloaded and I've even posted to my own profile. He is the host of Pinko the Bear, the very popular Pinko the Bear radio show, Brad Hullhut. He's out of Las Vegas. He's a community organizer. He's an activist. He's an occupier. Very, very intelligent man who speaks the truth about capitalism. And you know, we've been very critical of capitalism here. And, you know, we're going to discuss this with Brad, but it is crystal clear that our economic system right now for the last 30 years is breeding a tremendous amount of pain. People really are in pain. The middle class is shrinking. I don't think there is a middle class anymore. You know, Robert Reich, the labor secretary, a former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, said, you know, I'm not a class warrior, I'm a class worrier. And there are those of us, like myself, who think that we can tax corporations, tax the wealthy, and therefore sort of keep them in check by taxation and regulation, which is what we've done, what we did after the Great Depression, and increase the rate of unionization, and you know, get back a manufacturing policy, and we can be okay. But then individuals like Brad, and they have a great point, say, you know what, we can do that tomorrow, but yet the capitalists, the bourgeoisie, the ownership class of America will, whether it's 5 years down the road, whether it's 10 years down the road, or whatever, they will always gain our economic system and get it back to the way it was when there was so much pain. And that's the point I'm at in my young political life here. I'm trying to figure out what is the alternative to capitalism. What can we do? Because, you know, there are certain political revolutions in our country. You know, we had the Reagan Revolution in 1980, which has been a complete disaster. The Franklin Delano Roosevelt Revolution, that, you know, was a lot better for the American people, but that is far removed from the minds of Americans. So we're going to discuss this in a lot more. Brad is on the line with us. Brad, how are you? Welcome to Carson's Corner.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, we're live, Brett. How are you? I am so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Skype. I've never had that issue before.
Yeah, it's, you know what it is? Is for some reason, I don't know if I'm doing something or whatnot, but sometimes we've had this problem, and I apologize to anybody out there that's been listening. Listen, Brad, it's great to finally get you back on the show. I just want to pick your brain, and I want to find out a lot of different things. Let's start off with how you became involved with Pinko the Bear, the radio show, how you got inspired, and just kind of, let the audience in on what just, tipped the balance for you.
Yeah, I think the short version of this is I got to blame Tom Hartman.
Uh-huh.
Tom Hartman, the nationally syndicated radio host, I've been listening to him for, 5-6 years, and I used to listen to Randy Rhodes and the rest of them, and it got me thinking, all these things that I didn't believe before, and I'd hear him say something, and I'd go, well, that's not true, because I was taught otherwise. And right. So then you do a little digging, and you find out, oh, that's true. And so it got me down this, it just kind of opened my eyes to some things. And then
you have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3.
I don't know
okay, well, anyway.
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3.
Okay. That's got to be on my end. Hold on.
Yeah,
are you still there?
Bizarre.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3.
Hold on.
We should start all over. I hope this isn't live.
Sorry you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Are you still there, Brad?
Yeah, now I'm here.
Okay.
So you heard all that too, right? Your message has been,
yeah.
Okay. So, well, I hope this isn't going live over the radio. I hope you can
it's
edit
been a
some
complete,
of this.
Yeah, we'll have to edit it, but go ahead.
Anyway, so what happened is I started paying more attention to the world around me in politics, and particularly through liberal talk radio. And so I thought, well, Hartman always says, tag, you're it, get out there, get active, do something. So I thought, well, fine, I'll do something. I'll see what I would sound like if I was going to do this show. I figured if George Bush could be president, I could have a radio show.
Right.
Right. So I started it late at night because I didn't want anybody to listen at first because I didn't know what I was doing and I was just, testing the waters. And over the last couple of years, what I found is, as I kind of got my footing, I found out that I was a lot more radical than I thought I was. And now I look at the liberal talk show hosts and I think, boy, they're how lame they are because they won't actually speak up and tell the truth about things. They'll only tell us the truth about how bad the right is. They won't tell us the truth about the whole system, because then they'll be labeled dissidents, they'll lose their sponsors. And so I've come to the conclusion that I'll never be on commercial radio because the owners of these stations simply, can't have a voice like mine out there talking about the evils of capitalism.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I agree, and I that's my frustration with many of the so-called liberal pundits out there. I make this point all the time is that, someone like Rachel Maddow or someone like Ed Schultz, who are not in the same world that you and I are in. They're just not. I mean, they may be a little bit more sympathetic to our plight, but at the end of the day, they're dining at the same restaurants as the CEOs and the Fox News pundits. They're attending the same White House correspondent parties. They're just not. I don't feel a connection to them, and their careers. For them to be able to enjoy the lifestyles that they're living, they have to essentially pick a side. Is it going to be Democrat or is it going to be Republican? And they understand that their career depends on their support of the Obama administration. And every single one of them supports the Obama administration. Every single one of the hosts that we've talked about thus far support the Obama administration. And I don't understand if you're committed to certain ideals, how in the world can you support the Obama administration? You know, income inequality has furthered under President Obama. George W. Bush, Obama has been more conservative on economic policies than George W. Bush. I can give you plenty of examples. When it comes to national defense, Obama has been certainly more conservative. So really, this breeds apathy on my part, and I think this is part of the reason why Congress has such a low approval rating.
Yeah, you know, you kind of hit it on the head there. I think it was Chris Hedges wrote the book Death of the Liberal Class.
Yeah.
And you know, he calls these people out too. I'm not by name, not all of them by name, because the cast of characters changes. But it's true. These folks on MSNBC or on liberal talk radio stations across the country, they're not committed to bringing the truth or helping us in the struggle against what oppresses us, so to speak. They're really just committed to their own careers, the money that they make as a pundit, and their standing in the circles of the rich and powerful. And so they eat from the same table. Maybe they don't eat as well as the ruling class, but they're servants, courtiers to the ruling class. I have a more colorful description of them, but if this makes it on actual AM radio, I'll try not to cuss.
Well, you know, yeah, we're it's a Part 15 station, so it's a very small AM station, because you know you rightfully pointed out a few moments ago how the individuals that own the airwaves are really not sympathetic to the discussion that we have, and certainly advertisers are not going to be sympathetic to the discussions that we're used to having on our shows. I mean, even something as just obvious as pointing out how corporations now are paying next to nothing in taxes, this doesn't sit well, obviously. So, and we're not even talking about questioning capitalism, which you do on your show all the time. Now, I'm with you, obviously, as you could tell. Capitalism really is in its cancerous stages, as Hartman says a lot of times on his show. We have huge wealth and income consolidation in America. We have a degradation of the working class. I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show, but I was talking about how if we would tax corporations and tax the wealthy at historical rates, if we were to increase the rate of unionization in America, if we would have a manufacturing policy in this country where, like we used to have, things would get a lot better for us. But 5, 10, 15, 20 years down from the road, the ownership class, the bourgeoisie, would eventually get their fingers in the till again and reverse the progress we've had and take us right back to where we were, you know, prior to these reforms. So my question is, Brad, what is, if not capitalism, then what can we do to truly be free in this country?
Well, there's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
You know, and what you said is so true about, before I address that, so true, the ownership class always claws back anything that they're forced to give up. And it's usually about over every four generations. If you go back 80 years, there was a Great Depression. You go back another 80 years, there was another big depression. And this is kind of a normal cyclical thing. They overreach, and then we push back, and then they give some reforms rather than lose their way of life, the owner class. So knowing that, then it becomes the whole, well, the reform versus revolution. And when I say revolution, I think thought revolution, you know, revolution of the mind, where people start to free themselves of the old ways of thinking, the ways that they've been programmed and propagandized by the various media outlets and institutions that shape our world. And people, if they start to really understand how bad the system that we live under is, and what it does not only to us here at home, but say to the third world, you know, then if they take get a good picture of that, then they'll start to ask questions about, well, how do we replace this? What do we replace it with? And that is the million-dollar question. I have some ideas on that.
I love to hear them. I mean, I interviewed Gar Alperowitz, who's a a professor and an author, and he thinks that the future is going to involve cooperatives. You know, we already have, you know, almost hundreds of millions of Americans in some form of a cooperative. He thinks that that could be it. There are other people out there that think that, you know what, it's going to be a mixture of, you know, capitalism, socialism, and, you know, you look at Veterans Administration, stuff like that, you know, socialized medicine. So I would just be anxious to hear your ideas.
Let's talk about that. The people who say that it's – okay, first of all, it's not going to suddenly change. There's going to be a long progression, probably over, you know, depending on whether or not the species survives. But it's going to be over a long time. It might be 20 years, might be 100 years, might be 200 more years. But eventually capitalism will completely fail, and people will find a different way to organize their society. And I'm a big fan of anarchy and a big fan of socialism. But the hard thing about these words is everybody's got their own idea of what they mean, and
right.
Not everybody really understands the actual, you know, the historical context and what we're really talking about. But I am of the belief that that nobody is better suited to run my life or your life than you or I. And so I'm a big believer in anarchy. I don't, that just means without hierarchy. You know, I don't think that it's necessary to have a state, you know, whether nation state, city state. It's not necessary to have masters. It's not necessary to have, you know, overlords, kings, or anybody in positions of authority. I think human beings can figure things out for themselves, come together in their communities, and decide how they want to run things. And unfortunately, we don't get to do that because the ruling class, you know, doesn't allow it. And they use force, they use guns to make sure that never happens.
Well, yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I do believe, Jeff Munson is a friend of mine, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a champion MMA fighter and actually a pretty well-known anarchist. And I've had him on the show, and we kind of differ when it comes to you know, having a cop on the beat. And government, I think that government can work, but your point is well taken about us being able to lead us, and you know, that's the point, I think, of contention, is that we're not being led by us, we're being led by the very wealthy, and then becomes, is it that's how it's structured to be, is that. That's how everything is structured to where, you know, the ruling class will always rule us, and, you know, we're going to be subservient to them, and we're truly not going to be free. Or, you know, can we get enough political power to where we have a worker-owned America? And I guess that's a debate that we're going to have to have, you know, among people like you and I who are very, very much politically alike in terms of our opinions, very dissatisfied with how things are going, and you know, we're gonna have to see, you know, what happens. I think if you look at most young people now, maybe most people my age or a little bit younger, they're evenly split among socialism and capitalism, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, there's a resurgence of favorability towards socialism. All the polls indicate it, but that resurgence is only with the younger people. It's not with people my age and older. They've already got it set in their brain that somehow socialism means Stalinism or, you know, some
right.
stupid idea like that. You know, blaming Marx for Stalinism is like, you know, blaming Jesus for the Crusades. I mean, there's no there, but people believe it because that's what they've been told, because they've grown up in the West here, and they're victims of propaganda. And that's the main thing, Bob, that we're facing. This is the big problem in this country, is too many people believe too many things that are simply not true. They believe things that are told to them through the various institutions and that aren't true, that make them weak and keeps them in the dark, and then they go out advocating against their own best interests. You know, they're like the mice that are carrying the sign to say "Hooray for fat cats!" You know, the American, you know, the U.S. libertarian T Tea Party types, the Republican, the, you know, if you're not a billionaire, you shouldn't be voting for a Republican. If you're not a billionaire, you shouldn't be voting for a Democrat. You have nothing in common with those people. You know, you should be, you know, trying to organize an actual labor party or, you know, a socialist party. But, you know, but the fact that not enough people are doing it just shows me how strong that that propaganda has been in this country, and it's sad.
It
is. It's not that it's always going to be this way. I mean, I wouldn't say always. I mean, we're making progress, right? We got
right.
rid of, like, you know, France got rid of the King
right.
Louis. You know, we got rid of King George. You know, blacks aren't slaves anymore. Women can vote. You know, the Civil Rights Act's passed. The Vietnam War was stopped. I mean, there are things that happen when people get together and say enough is enough. We're seeing some of that in Greece and Spain, and that's going to blow up, and we'll see what happens there. But I'm hopeful because people are waking up. It's just they're not waking up fast enough for me.
Well, I agree, and you know, you mentioned this propaganda that exists to misinform and to get people to accept the corporatist agenda. We often forget that someone like Rush Limbaugh, who has anywhere from 12 to 15 million listeners, those listeners, they infect other people. And then, you know, those people infect other people. Then, you know, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper or whatever, and you're going to get the capitalist point of view. And that's why I always tell my audience that let's bypass the corporate-driven media, because the corporate-driven media is just millionaires talking to millionaires. And, you know, I'm not there. I'm not on the Sunday shows. You're not on the Sunday shows. Who's on the Sunday shows? You know, someone who is committed to the establishment in one form or another, and that is how our media is transmitted. It's through that corporate lens, which leaves out a lot of different things, omits a lot of different things, and frames things in a certain area. I think it's unfortunate, but what we are seeing glimmers of hope. We've got the Occupy protests, and
yeah,
they've been going on. I mean, I know that you're heavily involved with them, and you know, I find it amazing is that any time someone even sounds remotely like us, you know, questioning capitalism, questioning wealth and income consolidation, and so on and so forth, we are labeled an X, Y, and Z. We are called un-American. And
oh,
to
no.
be fair, yeah. Well, you know, I post this on my blog talk description, is that this is a way to, I think, suppress speech. And this is how you know that you're on the right track, when you've got, you know, people that have received the benefits from our economic system calling you names. That tells me that they have no points to argue. They're out of ammunition. They're just going to, you know, pull out the kitchen sink to stop us from discovering these issues that we talk about.
Yeah, you know, these people that this reminds me of when I was a kid. There were bumper stickers, you know, "My country, right or wrong, are you here? My country, love it or leave it." This is during the protest era of the Vietnam War, and you know, even as a little kid, I knew better than that. I was like, wait a minute, how about instead of "my country, right or wrong," how about "my country, right her when she's wrong"? You know, get it,
yeah.
Get it, you know, fix it. And we have a long history in this country of demonizing truth tellers. You know, the Wilson's Red Scare in the 20s, and then again the McCarthy hearings in the, you know, in the 50s. And so one of the ways you do know that you're probably on the right track is when all the establishment people are attacking you. I mean, you're not always on the right, you know, I mean, that's one good indicator, let's put it that way.
Right. What type of reaction have you received? I know I'm listening to your radio show and watching some of the chats and whatnot, the comments. I mean, Blog Talk Radio, I love it. I recommend it to everybody. It's worth every penny to me that I pay to be on this site. But it's swarming with right wingers. The owner of Blog Talk Radio is a friend of Neil Cavuto. So you know, he's. What type of reaction have you gotten from some of the right wingers out there?
Well, you know, I think when I first first came on with such an inflammatory name, you know, Pinko the Bear. I was going to be the dissident bear, but I thought, nah, it's not inflammatory enough. So I went with Pinko the Bear. And I used to go to the other shows, and I'd get immediate shit from people, crap from people right away because of my name. And, you know, oh, you know, get out of the country if you don't like it. And, you know, oh, you're a Stalinist. And I mean, this is just plain ignorance. I mean, but so it's to be expected. But there are people that listen who have come around, you know, people who had an open mind who have come around. Maybe they don't believe everything that I'm talking about, but they've at least made an impact on some people. And then you never know who's listening, who you're making an impact on. You just never know. It's hard to tell with radio. But I get emails, and as far as the trolls go, I just ignore them. I mean, I'm up late when I do my show, midnight to 2 Pacific. There's a lot of trolls, and I don't even take a lot of phone calls because, you know, 99% of them are just, you know, ridiculous.
You're right, and you know what? A lot of these people I'd be willing to say, and I'm not you know into conspiracy theories here, but a lot of these people are being paid to do this. You know, the Heritage Foundation, which is a corporate think tank that's been in existence for, you know, 4 decades now. They literally pay people to scrub Wikipedia pages. They pay people to write negative reviews on liberal films or products or whatnot. They have this whole infrastructure, and they do pay people to call liberal programming. You're paid a certain amount per call. So, you know, it's totally conceivable that is what is happening here.
I'm not sure that's happening on BTR on my show because I don't have any huge impact. But you know, yeah, they'll try to call in Hartman's show or Norman Goldman. They get paid for that. But you know, BTR, I think what we've got is a lot of very sad. let me be careful about this. Late night, the type of people that troll. I mean, they're just having fun. I think it's kind of sad. You know, I've got one guy that listens for 2 years, and he still makes the nastiest comments in the chat room and doesn't understand a damn thing I'm saying. So finally, I just finally let him have it the other night and kicked him out. I'm done with it. You know, some people you can never reach, and it is what it is. It is frustrating, but on the other hand, there are people who appreciate this kind of programming, and so it's great that you're doing it, and we need more people, you know, seeking the truth and telling the truth, I think, out on the airwaves.
Yeah, we need a progressive media infrastructure. You know, one thing I got to tell you is that I get resentful and I get kind of angry that some of the bigger hosts out there, Hartman and Schultz, and I know, you know, from I just know that they receive my show, they're aware of this, you know, most likely aware of what you're doing as well. And I don't get any type of correspondence from them. Now, I understand everybody's busy, but you know, I mean, if these people truly cared about progressive media, if they truly cared about fighting this corporate machine, they would lend their support to us. They would at least try to help us. I mean, I understand it's very complicated, but I get nothing from these people, and it all goes back to their commitment to their career and their career only. And, you know, I'm thankful for there's truthout.org. They do a great job. I've had a decent relationship with them and some other people from there. But by and large, there's no progressive media infrastructure out there. And that's because the business interests are not going to really line up with individuals like myself or yourself who are advocating giving them less power, control, and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is coming up this fall, there's going to be an auction of, I don't know, a few thousand low-power FM stations. FCC has made room for that. And I was in on a conference call with a group called, I can't remember the name of the group, the Prometheus Project, and who are helping people around the country get in their applications to get ownership, get a license for low-power FM. Doing community radio, so you know there's a window of opportunity coming up here in the fall if we get our paperwork in and find out if there's some available in our area. That's probably all we're ever going to get is some community radio and some internet stations.
Now, does it cost a lot?
Yeah, the estimation is to run a low-powered radio station with all volunteers, you know, for different shows, about $10,000 a year. So, you know, if you can fundraise $1,000 a month, you know, you could have community radio serving your community. It might be a couple hours on Occupy, a couple hours on, you know, anti-capitalism. Maybe there's a horticulture or permaculture show, whatever your community needs. So I'm looking into that. I don't, you know, who knows what'll come of that, but it is an opportunity. People can just Google I think it's Prometheus, the Prometheus group, radio group, and you'll find information on that. Or I can email you information as well. I've got it.
I think I've seen this on Facebook. I think I'm pretty sure I've seen this from your Facebook page. But I'll start posting it.
Yeah, Black Agenda Report. If they go to blackagendareport.com, I'm sure there's links up there because they're co-sponsoring these calls. Really good people over there: Bruce Dixon, Margaret Kimberly, and Glenn Ford. All activists. They're the editors of the Black Agenda Report. I mean, real truth tellers. I mean, there's a perfect example of an independent media source that people need to take advantage of to get the truth about what's going on in this world. Blackagendareport.com, just to give a little plug.
Good. Yeah, I visited their site before. I want to ask you, sort of in closing here, we have an election coming up, okay, mm-hmm. and it's pretty clear how we feel about these candidates. I think there's going to be low voter turnout. I think neither candidate is going to inspire their base, but really, in the end, it doesn't make any difference because both of these political parties are beholden to the very powerful, and only one is slightly less repressive than the other. What do you think is going to happen in the short term with this election? And, you know, sort of give us a forecast, if you would.
Well, if I had a crystal ball, you know, here's what I'd say. I think it's been in the bag. This is my opinion. There's no way to prove this, but I think it's been in the bag for Obama for a very long time. I think all of this is a charade. I don't think any serious Republican contenders came out this time. It was just a line of fringe candidates, the Bachmans and the Gingriches and the Santorums. And, Herman Cain was a front runner. All we had is the real serious people, the ones that the Republican base will take seriously and get behind. They're not running because they know that the ruling class has already spoken and anointed Obama. They gave him more money than McCain in the last election cycle. They're going to give him more money than they give Romney this cycle. So the smart people know it's not to run. And the only people that were running this time, in my opinion, they were running for bestseller or running for a show on Fox. Mm-hmm. They weren't really running to be president. And so all of this is just a bunch of stuff for people to watch, and they watch it like sports, right? They want to root for their team. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the Packers, and I love the Cowboys, and okay, my team's better than yours. Well, in the end, that team doesn't give a hoot about the fans. They're just taking their money and putting on a show. And these Republicans and Democrats at the national level are putting on a show. They're collecting fans through their advertising marketing campaigns on the TV and radio, through the punditry. So they're getting fans, but they don't care about the fans. They don't care They're putting on the show, and in the end, it's going to be Obama, unless there's some big white swan, or is it a black swan? Black swan incident that, you know, changes everything. You know, if a nuke goes off or, you know, something crazy, it's going to be Obama because the money people want him in there. Their interests.
Yeah, he has, and that has been evident since the moment he put his hand on that Bible. I mean, from his political appointments to people, you know, appointing people like Larry Summers and Timothy Geithner to his... appointments to the debt panel, debt commission, and I mean, you could just go down the line here, issue after issue. I said President Obama has been more conservative than George W. Bush, and people look at me when I tell them, they're like, "What are you talking about? Fox News said he's a liberal, and
he's a socialist."
yeah, he's this Kenyan socialist. That's what Sean Hannity tells me. I'm like, no, look what this man has done, and look at the corporate welfare over the last couple of years, and you will see. I agree, Brad. It's been great having you on the show. Please give people your Facebook page and how they can listen to your show.
Well, I've kind of suspended my show for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to do some occasionally, but I used to do it five nights a week, 2 hours a night, and it's been 2 years now. So that's, 2 hours a night plus 2 or 3 hours of prep. I need some of that time back because it's springtime. There's more stuff to do with Occupy. Now we're got the homeless feed going on. There's just more stuff to do, so I need some of that time back. So it's only going to be an occasional show here or there, maybe once or twice a week. But it's Pinko the Bear. It's the Pinko the Bear Show at Log Talk Radio. On Facebook, you can hit the like Pinko the Bear Show. It's called Pinko the Bear Show. Just click like over there, and I tend to post there. But I also, of course, Brad Holhut, Holhut. You can reach me on Facebook, and I'm more the merrier. I don't turn down anybody, but I will block super super trollish people.
Yes.
I still have a lot of Obot friends, people who post pro Obama stuff. And if I have the time and inclination, I'll try to engage them and see if, I can get them to maybe open their eyes a little bit. But what I'm finding is that the Obots are just as close-minded as the Tea Partiers or the right-wingers in this country. They just are convinced that they're right, and they're not willing to listen to anything or look at facts, They're just not willing to look at facts because they got a D behind their name, and they love their team, no matter what,
Yeah, that's really a shame. It really is. I mean, the Republicans like to turn this into a race issue, and we keep on hearing things like, 90% of African Americans are going to vote for President Obama, and that may or may not be true. But when George W. Bush in 2006 he was into his second term, and he had like a 35% approval rating. Of that 35%, like 90% of it was white. It happens in both ways. And that, that's another issue we could talk about, Brad. We didn't talk about demographics in America and how that has played a role, I think, in some of the political policies for sure. I mean, when Ronald Reagan came in, Reagan really won his governorship in California due to a white backlash against the Civil Rights Act. And then, in 1980, he just sort of carried that, with his welfare queen speech in Philadelphia, Mississippi, when he accepted the nomination. So demographics play into it, too. I mean, the Republican Party could still win elections by, just appealing to the Tea Party crowd, which, as you know, is mainly all white and elderly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the demographics do make a difference in the elections, but I guess I would say that the elections don't make a difference. Before people's heads explode, let me just explain.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in office. We're still going to continue down the road of empire building, global domination, both military domination. We're going to continue down the road of neoliberal economic policies that are raping and pillaging the third world, destroying third world, keeping them down. We're going to continue down this police state, this militarization of the police, and fewer and fewer civil rights. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican, and so talking about politics and what one party can do or what the other party can do, that's watching the game. But the game isn't, in my view, the game is not worth watching. It's better to do something else than watch the game. It's better to go out in your community and feed somebody or give a talk on economics or do a radio show that, brings the truth and gets people to start thinking, rather than paying attention to what this party or that party said or this pundit said about that party. All that stuff to me I have a hard time even watching it for, 3 or 4 minutes anymore.
Right,
because there's just it's so clear to me how transparent and BS it is that there's nothing to be learned, at least I don't know. I don't learn anything when I turn on any of the news channels anymore. There's nothing to be learned.
Yeah, and I your point about elections and how demographics really do not matter. It's well taken. I think it is. Although I would like to think that, you know, our population, as we become more of a melting pot, that will lead the way for one of our two major political parties to sort of come back to the center. But in the end, I think I have to agree with we're still headed in certain directions, and that's going to happen. No matter what the makeup of America is, it's unfortunate, but we need a revolution. And
I
think as soon as the pain starts to get unbearable to the point where you have the average Tea Party person starting to sound like us, then maybe maybe there's something that's going to happen in the future. Brad, thanks a lot, and we'll touch back with you sometime down the road. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you another time.
Absolutely, Brad. Thank you very much. Brad Holhut, ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of Pinko the Bear Radio. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner.
My name is Angelo Carasone, better known as Stop Back on Twitter, and primarily I spend my time trying to debunk right-wing lies that permeate our media, and there's, one of the places that we do it is on Bob Carson's show.
We're back here on Underground Progressive Radio, 5:30 a.m. This is Carson's Corner, and I'm your host, Bob Carson. Want to remind everybody to check out Speak Your Mind Radio. Carson's Corner is on that great radio station. David Levitt is doing a great job in trying to help find missing children. And you can go to symradio.com for more information. And you can find out how you could help find missing children. Be a missing children's advocate, folks. Okay. Also, want to encourage you to support Glendine Grant's group, Mothers Against Human Trafficking. Okay. Or Mothers Against Trafficking Humans. I'm sorry, MATH. MATH is the acronym there. For more information, you can actually friend her on Facebook, Glendine Grant. Just look up Glendine Grant on Facebook. Okay. And that's it. I had a great, great show today. I'm very, very sorry about the technical difficulties. Okay. It was really bad. But in the end, when all is said and done, we got to speak with Brad. And I hope we brought to you a very, very thought-provoking discussion. All right. I want to encourage everybody to friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And donate to Justin and I. If you go to bobcarson13.podomatic.com, you can click on the PayPal button and you can donate to help keep Progressive Talk Radio on the air. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.